Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. This is our monthly edition, a discussion group. Tonight's topic is the what and why of negative energy. Joined by Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg, and I'm Bob Ginsberg, and it's good to have you with us tonight. And if you want to join in during the show, you can reach us at 1-888-627-6008. And tonight's sponsor is LNR Productions, and you can find them on the web at lnrproductions.com. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Bob.
Hello.
That's nice. That's a nice greeting. It sets some real positive energy for the show. And Fran's going to continue that energy going with some positive things that the foundation is doing.
Okay, so the very first thing we want to remind everybody is the three special ways to let us know you like Signs of Life Radio. One, go to the Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and like us. We'll like you back. Two, use the donate button on any one of our weekly email show reminders to support programming. There's also a space to add a comment on what you love and what you might not like so much about the show. And three, remember us when you shop online. When you shop online, you can support the work of our 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you will need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website. And again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon.com, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we'll receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for in their more than 1,300 online stores like Adidas, Big Dogs, Bloomingdale's, Nordstrom, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. And now, my friends and I, we're going to talk about this wonderful upcoming Transformation of Grief retreat, our Afterlife Exploration Retreat, in Chester, Connecticut, the weekend of July 26th to 28th. And it's going to be a wonderful, intimate group of only 50 attendees that are going to be broken up into even smaller groups as we go into our individual workshops. Now, Melissa and Tom, you've been to these before. Mm-hmm. You want to chat about that?
We just can't say enough about them. First of all, the setting is so lovely and peaceful. And Tom and I found that even though we felt we weren't actively grieving the loss of a loved one, we got so much out of the event. Just the breakout, well, I shouldn't even call them breakout workshops because we're all going through each of the workshops throughout the weekend. And the information we got, I think we both still think about that.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I got a lot of great feedback from each of the sessions, and there was a Reiki session as well. A couple of Reiki specialists will be there to give free Reiki, and I know that Laura Lynn Jackson is going to be there, and she is tremendous, so it'll be always good to see her. And I concur that it's just a very peaceful place. The grounds are great to take walks around, and there's a lot to do, and it keeps moving, and it's enlightening and very helpful.
And I love Melissa's point about the breakout sessions, because unlike most retreats and conferences and things like that, when they have breakout sessions, people are forced to choose. I have to go to this, right, or I could go to that, or I could go here. We make sure that everybody goes to everything. Mm-hmm. So there's this constant rotation going on. Unfortunately, the facilitators have to repeat what they're doing over and over again, but the benefit goes to the attendees, that everybody gets this full program of learning how to maintain your connection to those who have passed before us. And for those of us who are not maintaining, you're going to walk away with the tools of how to communicate with your loved ones on the other side. So we have a great group of facilitators this time. Not that the last ones were not, but we keep improving and improving.
The last ones were exceptional.
We can't wait for this one, because what we do is at the end of each one of our events, we send out a survey, and then we take that information and we incorporate it into the next time we do that event. So this is going to be even more super.
And the food's very good there, too.
The food is excellent.
I like the rooms.
Very homey.
And like to be with like-minded people. And it's only 50 people.
Only 50 people.
I like the wine that we bring.
That's it. Because a lot of people do take advantage of our little wine and cheese gatherings. There are people who have difficulty sleeping because they're being preoccupied with the grief. There are people who just are night owls. And we do these little wine and cheese gatherings in the evening. And people just hang out and they talk with other like-minded people, and that's nice. And also we have a very special bonus on Saturday night. Because it's July, we were able to negotiate an outside bonfire where we're going to join together in song to raise our vibrations. And then our mediums will be able to connect for us to our loved ones on the other side, in addition to the other spirit communication that will take place during the weekend.
Well, and you know, Fran, when I said Tom and I got so much out of it, even though we were not actively grieving the loss of someone, a lot of the attendees clearly were still going through the grief process, and you could just see it on their faces. Not a lot of smiles sometimes. But by the end of it, my goodness, you know, something had happened that transformed them. And then they were, you know, sharing and just talking about how it had helped them move past those tough times.
Yeah, okay. Thank you both for helping me out with that. And here's our next one for you to help me out with. Our next event coming up after that will be our 7th Annual Afterlife Conference, and this one is entitled In Search of the Afterlife, Experiencing, Communicating, and Connecting to Another World. It will be the weekend of Saturday, November 9th, and Sunday, November 10th, and it's going to be this year in San Diego, California, at the DoubleTree by Hilton Golf Resort, which is an absolutely gorgeous place. And right now we're running our Early Bird Members Only Special. So you can sign up and save yourself a whole lot of money if you're able to commit yourself to November's event now. And we also have our Friday night banquet fundraiser, which this year is going to feature Kim Russo, who's the star of The Haunting of on TV's Bio Network. And she's going to conduct spirit communication for the group after dinner is served, or consumed, I should say. And the cost of the conference includes lunch on both days, and our conference presenters are Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Evan Alexander, Dr. Stephen Browde, Dr. Jeffrey Tarrant, Tom and Lisa Butler from the Association Transcommunication. People who don't know what that is, that's electronic voice phenomena and related types of communication from the other side, and Janet Mayer, who happens to be one of our certified mediums, but she's going to be demonstrating for us the language that she speaks and the story of how that kind of changed her whole life.
Great story.
Yeah, and I have to mention, you know, we get a lot of calls around here, and everybody since the Long Island medium and Teresa Caputo is so popular now, She's selling out concert halls nowadays. And everybody thinks that if they want a great reading, they have to have her. Well, I got to tell you that Kim Russo is every bit as qualified and as accurate as Teresa, and she will she's likely to be just as famous with her TV show. Her second season just started. It's a Saturday nights at 10 o'clock on the Bio Channel. I've started watching the second season. I like it better than the first season, and I think that they're getting into their stride and presenting some good shows. So this is a good chance to get up close and personal with you know, one of the top mediums. You really want to get in that.
All right, and when we come back from our break, we're going to get right into our topic, which is the what and why of negative energy, and Melissa's going to tell us all about positive and negative energy. And it's an interesting topic. We all hear, like, good vibes, bad vibes. Interestingly, we use the word vibes, right? So we're going to talk about all that and what it has to do with the afterlife. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
and welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We're talking about the what and why of negative energy. Interesting that we, why did we take that topic instead of the what and why of good energy? But, I mean, when we say negative energy and good energy, are we saying, is that the same thing as saying positive thoughts and negative thoughts? I mean, thoughts are energy, right? And we're beings of energy. We know that. We know that people emit energy because it can be measured. So the question is, where does the energy come from and where does it go? You know.
Now, that's a pretty good question because, you know, when we look at the big picture, as we've been doing, it seems that we're talking about a universe that is there is an energy flow. And, you know, we choose to tap into it with using our guides or using our intentions and that sort of thing, that we can use it for beneficial purposes, and that it's just massive, and it feeds on love and that sort of thing. So is the negative energy also a massive flow, or is it anomalies within the fold of the universe?
Yeah, I know where you're going with that. I mean, is the true nature of the universe one of love and compassion? I mean, was it like that originally, you know, and then the negative seeped in, you know, or is negative energy, you could define good energy or positive energy as the absence of negative energy. Like people say, you know, light is the darkness is simply the absence of light. So I wonder, that web that you're talking about, that web, that field of energy, what we've discussed, I mean, the universe is what they say is what 96% dark matter, and within that 96% are these webs of information that we're not aware of. And so, are we inherently good, compassionate, loving people? And where does the negative energy, I would think, comes from? Going against our true nature. Our true nature is the love and compassion. So we go, and that's brought about by stress and greed and hunger and desires and lust and everything else. So, I mean, you have any thoughts on that, Fran?
You just mentioned all the quote unquote qualities of being in the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to the other side, which is more likely what the original creation was about. There was this universe. It was created based on love and compassion. And then this physical world was stuck into it. And in this physical world, anybody who decides to incarnate into this physical world and have a physical attribute to their energy, now along with that has free will. And it's the free will, I propose, that allowed you to choose to do negative things. So here in the physical world is where we are exposed and see the enormous amount and the ever growing amount of negative energy. You just see it, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse and worse. And what's going to happen?
Well, what about in the spirit world? You know, so we have discussed, and many people on the show have told us in channel reports and so forth. On the other side, people tend to hone in or congregate on a certain common vibratory level. You know, they're
based on enlightenment.
Yeah, on different spheres and different levels of enlightenment. So, is there any so-called negative energy on the other side?
Well, I know Melissa and I are going to go back to Testimony of
Life.
Exactly. I'm going to leave that up to Melissa then.
Well, we might be maybe thinking about different parts of it, but I, you know, when we start these topics of conversation, my brain goes all over the place, so I will have trouble honing in on the point I probably wanted to make. But in Testimony of Light, it seemed as though from the experience of a nun who had passed away and now was reporting back to her friend what she was experiencing on the other side, that there are these, I don't know if she called them soul groups. Maybe as I read about it, it was my interpretation of what I think a soul group must be. But people who live in a similar fashion on the physical plane, on the other side, will find themselves grouped together. But I mean people who, say, are superficial or materialistic, and it's all a facade that they show to the physical world. But once you're on the other side, that drops away, and the true person that you are is revealed, and those people find themselves amongst others, which is probably something they were pretending to be something else, but now they're seen for what they are, and they're stuck with people just like them, which seems kind of negative. They weren't positive qualities. However, I think on the other side, it isn't about negativity, so maybe that's what they have to work to their challenges to.
Right, and if I recall in the book, the way she described it was, if you take this hierarchy of enlightenment, that they don't call it, there's certainly no hell. They call these lesser people who are either, and I don't even want to use the word stuck, but they have brought with them from the other side their connection, their dependency on the physical attributes that they had while they were here. And so when they cross over, they're in these quote-unquote hospital areas that are down in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
They call it in the shadows. And the people from the higher enlightened areas come down to work with these people that are in these shadows to teach them how to become more enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
And to help raise their vibration so they can move up towards the enlightenment. So yeah, there is negative energy on the other side, but it's only energy that we as physical beings have brought with us when we crossed over.
And which leads me to a thought that the energy that we are calling negative energy is really just a tool. It's you know, we hear so often about people coming to the physical plane to work on their enlightenment, work on their soul, and then you know, of course, the Hindu religion feels that you keep coming around and around again until you get it right, and then you get to the Nirvana, the next level, and you go up, you know, another step, I think that the negative energy, if you will, is put in our pathway intentionally as part of the master plan of the positive energy flow, so that we can use that as, okay, here it is. How are you going to react to it? Are you going to deal with it and overcome and help yourself elevate to the next level, or are you going to get stuck in it and churn yourself around so that you'll have to come back again until you learn it right? That it's not, as I might have asked earlier on, is there an equal negative energy flow in the universe to offsetting the huge positive flow?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly some sort of balance. It's all about balance, right? So every tradition has its interpretation of the yin and the yang and balance. But I tend to agree with what everybody said. I think that I always thought of the other side of being a progression, you know, and we hear it said that you are there what you were here. So you gradually have a lot of people to help you, and you have a different perspective so you can shed that negative energy. But what about the people here in the physical, the people that have, they led a very material life, and now they're on the other side, and they're still attached to it, and they still miss their toys. And what we think of negative energy, that could be coming from these people with attachments to the physical that are trying to influence the people, you know, still here. So we might call it, you know, putting bad thoughts in your head. Well, maybe some of these people that we think are psychotic really aren't. They just have people in spirit that are trying to put some negative thoughts in their head. So, I mean, I don't know why not. On the flip side, I'll ask you, Melissa, have you ever been in a situation that you've tried to change? You've come across a negative situation, and you tried to influence the outcome or the environment by interjecting loving or healing or positive thoughts?
Well, I do that a lot. Yeah. I do that a lot.
I assume that. That's why I asked you.
but as you were speaking, what I often think about, and I think we've heard this at some of the workshops we've all been to, is that our thoughts can also help those who have crossed on the other side. And today, as I often do, a friend of mine who passed away comes to mind. And this was a woman who was a bit eccentric, greatly eccentric, greatly challenged, had a lot of issues about wanting, you know, to get credit for things. And they were, she was difficult for a lot of people to get along with. However, she was a teacher, and she shared so many wonderful ideas. And when some of my colleagues who also knew her and I speak, will say, I won't say her name, but we often think about her. We think about her a lot when a certain bird flies through the sky that she was fond of, or an idea. And I think every time we think about her, we don't dwell on those negative aspects of her personality. We only talk about the wonderful things she did. And I think our talking of her in those positive ways is also helping her on the other side elevate and become more enlightened.
I would agree with that, right? She's an entity of thought on the other side, just as we are here. So
isn't that where the whole power of prayer comes? Somebody passes away. First thing you do is you have a funeral. Everybody comes together. There's a eulogy read. You say positive things about the person. Yeah. You say prayers. That raises them up. And, you know, and I think that's when organized religion, of course, kicks in and says, oh, well, we need to do this and we need to do this. And it becomes kind of ritualistic rather than something that you're doing out of devotion to the person.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we originally, I think you suggested this topic, Melissa, a while back. And I think the reason you did, because we were talking in general terms about the possibility of groups of people to change things, you know, in the world and maybe, you know, beyond. So when we see all of these things happening and you know, the wars and the atrocities and the hunger and everything else, is it possible to affect change through not only your thoughts, but you joined by hundreds of thousands of other people? I mean, you read a little prayer at the end of each show from Claude Swanson, I mean, a global peace prayer. And,
yeah.
And it's hard to measure, but there have been some studies in certain areas where people focus their attention on a small economic area or a poverty-stricken area, and to measure the results. And I believe that some of these things are kind of extraordinary. So, I mean, on the other side, what I would imagine if those hundreds of thousands of people directed their negative energy towards something, that could also have a dramatic effect. So, I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
I mean, I think it's better to just try to keep those apart.
Well, I do. I get the emails from Claude Swanson about his global prayer initiative, which I think is right, good. And I also have read books that say that, yes, indeed, they have documented statistically that it can make a difference when a group of people gather and send out the similar intention. You know, we're always in the Forever Family Foundation trying to reconcile science and spirituality, that really it's not two different things. It's the same thing. And we're just waiting for science to catch up to explain what we know as spirituality. But the one thing about science is that, and we know about the universe, is that a lot of the energy is magnetic. And, of course, if you know a magnet, you have a positive end and a negative end. And so there definitely are two different kinds of energy. Now, the thing that I want to bring up is that if you hold a magnet and you have the positive end and you then go to the negative end, it's not a bad end, and that's not a good end. It's
right.
just positive and negative. That's what just what they call it. They're different forces that react in different ways. And, you know, so getting too bent on thinking that the negative end is all bad, it's just a different kind of energy. So we might want to separate the whole discussion away from saying negative energy is a bad thing per se, and then rely on what we were talking before, the things that happen in the physical that you get bogged down with greed and selfishness and things like that, vanity and all.
Yeah, I mean, like you described with the magnet, it's all part of a circuit. So, I mean, you can't have the positive, you know, without the negative. So, but I think when we think about it, I mean, just look at the human body. When we think about bad, we call bad things. You know, let's not call it negative energy. But when we worry and we stress, it has takes a significant toll on the body. It could even cause disease. You know, that's where the science is leaning now. So if we can affect with our minds our own physical bodies, just imagine, you know, what we could do, you know, to non-material things. And we see, as you mentioned before, the power of prayer and the power of healing. So I think that in the not-too-distant future, as a civilization, we're going to catch on to that, and we're going to be able to cure a lot of things.
Hopefully soon.
From these, not necessarily what we think of science now, but going back to the ancients that might, you know, hold the key and, you know, to all of this.
I just want to add one more thing, because I know Tom was on the right track, but I think also the word energy has two different meanings. I think when you talk about energy from a spiritual standpoint, that's where it's different from the science. The science energy really delves into energy, and it's exactly what you say. A positive energy is no different than a negative energy. It's just a different force. But I think in the spiritual circles, when they talk about positive and negative energy, they're talking about a sense that you can ascertain when you walk into a room and somebody has just been fighting.
Yeah.
You weren't there for the fight, but there's this energy in the room that's not comfortable.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally different than the scientific terms of...
I agree with that. I buy that. And then again, now jumping back onto the science, there's a new science, relatively new in our mankind, called quantum physics. And that is way, way closer to explaining this whole thing. And quantum physics have a couple of the principles that spirituality is. And one is that everything is connected.
Right.
That, you know, when you talk of, and well, let me say the other. And the other is that it's not the physical, it's the space in between. You know, the molecules. I mean, the hardest rock, a diamond, is more space than it is diamond, and it's that space is where the energy lies, and that is what can be affected, because the energy that is our bodies is connected to that, and to bring it down into a more mundane thing, let's say for example that and what you were saying before, that when you can feel a room, I think, and what Bob was saying is when you stress out, what you're basically doing is you're tightening, you're squeezing the space that is supposed to be breathing and having the energy, and when you get stressed, you're squeezing the space, and that's throwing things off, it's making you sick, it's making people around you nervous and uncomfortable, and so it's we should be more focused on, or even not focused on, just on the space, letting the space breathe, if you will. And you know, and a mundane example is if you're driving your car and somebody cuts you off, your initial reaction a lot of times is to chase after them, road rage, you know, run them off the road. You know, that But rather, if you sit back and go, well, he's a part of me that needs work, and I'm going to send him some love, send him some compassion, and know that, oh, man, there's a human, you know. We have to deal with these guys, you know.
And I agree, and I think that our energy, no matter what it is, however we term it, positive, negative, whatever we want to call it, just it reverberates through this web of interconnectedness, you know. And, you know, we saw, in the last hurricane, so Fran said before the hurricane came, she was going to sage the house. Somebody told her to sage the house. So, of course, I thought it was a little silly, but, you know, so she
You thought I was a wacko.
She staged the house. You know, I got this hurricane coming. I'm batting down the hatches, and she's staging the house. So, you know, P.S., you know, a 100-foot oak tree falls, and inexplicably falls in between the house, 6 inches from the house, and also misses the gazebo, which is right by there, and it's, like, almost impossible to do that, and yet it did it, you know, so... who am I to say? You know, whatever did that? That energy.
We're back to
the universe, and somebody.
Power of positive prayer. You're putting a positive thought out there. Now, that's not to say that somebody could be right behind me putting a negative thought out there and balancing it out or negating it. I don't know if that would even take place, but it is the power of positive thought. And while you were describing that, Tom, before, the thing that popped into my mind was, wow, when kids turn 18 years old, instead of drafting them into a war to fight and kill, why don't we have them choose what positive energy group they want to go into, and they'll all sit together and send out positive energy instead of pulling out guns and killing people.
Well, you know,
just a thought.
The director, David Lynch, has started a foundation where he wants to bring transcendental meditation into high school. And he went to a particularly needy district in Detroit and went into the high school and got all the students to meditate. And it turned the whole school around, you know, where kids were now not dropping out, not getting involved in violence. And what you say is right on the money, I believe, that, yeah, not even wait till they graduate from high school, bring meditation into the schools.
And even for the little ones that can't perhaps do the idea of meditation, if they are speaking out loud about things that are positive in their day, like tell me something nice that happened today, or tell me something you enjoy about this, that they're bringing up positive things, so it might be a form of that as well.
As we make Tom the new chancellor of schools, he's going to institute some of this stuff right away.
Oh, I would.
We're going to take a short break and come back and continue this discussion, so stay with us. We'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941. 3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering, brought to you by Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. Number here is 888-627-6008. We're talking about energy, both positive and negative. We're focusing a lot on the spiritual sense of energy. And, you know, we talk about energy healers, and we talk about, now you go to Tai Chi, right?
Right.
And we're going to have a Reiki practitioners at the grief retreat. These are what you would term energy workers, right? So I guess what they're doing is they are trying to get rid of the so-called negative spiritual energy that people have. Am I correct? Is that what goes on?
Yeah, that is what goes on.
Yeah.
I'm not a Reiki master. I've never studied it, but I've gone to Reiki workshops, and I've been worked on. And the way they explain it is they are able to sense the areas within your body where they call it a negative area. And then they work on that area, sending their energy to heal that area of your body that's under any kind of disease or stress.
And I assume they do that by focusing on what we call positive or healing, or loving.
Healing.
Thoughts,
I think
right?
Yeah, I think it's healing.
I can speak on that a little bit, because just last weekend, I went and studied some Reiki, and I knew very little about it before then, and I don't know that much more now. However, it's just tapping into the universal life force, and what struck me was, even though I was extremely new to all of this, once you've been attuned by a Reiki master, you have that ability to put your hands on or above somebody, and the Reiki energy knows where to go. So even if you haven't developed your sensitivity enough to feel it, you don't have to worry about that. It knows where to go. So as someone brand new to all of this, that made me feel really good because I don't feel that sensitive yet that I can say, oh, right here, you're, you know, feeling stressed or tight. Just trust that by applying your thoughts and hands, that it goes to where it needs to go.
The intention.
Yeah.
Important. To recap, a lot of things have been said tonight. And, you know, Bob started off by saying that people think of darkness as being the absence of light rather than dark being bad and light being good. It's just two different things. And, of course, you stumble around in the dark and bump your head and things like that. So you might think that that's a bad connotation. And I think that, what we were talking about of it squeezing the space out where the energy can thrive is that negative energy, what we're calling negative energy, is just an absence of positive energy. So when in your body, when a Reiki master goes across your body and there's a particularly constricted area, there's not as much positive energy as should be. And that's where they will put the hands and send the positive energy to fill that space and hopefully get you back, you know, full of the positive energy, and that, that there isn't really a negative force out there with any kind of plan or agenda or anything like that that's coming after you kind of thing. It's just a matter that, you know, you don't have it there. You're empty of the positive energy, and you got to bring the positive energy back into your space.
Yeah. Well, as you said, if we think of it as a circle and one feeds off the other, I mean, it could be that when we feel a negative emotion, maybe that is somebody giving us a message to focus on something important. You know, we're feeling something negative for a reason, you know, and that's to draw our attention to something that we can change. So we don't always, I mean, you see it in your life, and there are people that there's not a positive thing that ever comes out of their mouth. I mean, they're just people like that. They just, you know, see darkness everywhere. And, you know, when you have a conversation with them, that can be draining. That acts sort of like its own magnet. You know, it's pulling you towards them, you know, and then you have to, you know, show the opposite polarity to get it back. So why is that? I don't know. You know, why or something? And some people are totally the other way. And you know, it's very unusual when a negative emotion, you know, seeps in. That may I don't know if that has anything to do with spirit. That may have to do with our upbringing and our family life and our culture and everything else. But there are, I'm sure there are groups of people, you know, certain sects, S-E-C-T-S, that, you know, focus on something that we might interpret, you know, negative or positive, and there we go with a mass type of a situation. So, I agree with Tom Sutter. You know, it's a mistake that we just think of, you know, everything in just negative and positive terms. I think it's more important to think in terms of changing one to the other and finding a balance, you know, and just letting the negative flow through you and try to make something, you know,
or
positive.
Or the void, as Tom put it. Leave the void and send positive energy into that void is, I think, what we're going after here. Is that, you know, it's the absence of, so let's put what's missing into the right spot. I think culturally we have been brought up in a society that wants things black and white, left and right, yes and no, positive and negative. And so we tend to categorize things all the time. And maybe we're not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah, a lot of people think that there's a cause you know, the specific cause for everything. I mean, we were joking about this, but take yesterday. Yesterday, I had a bad day at work. I later got bit by a dog, and my knee is all swollen, and I'm having trouble walking. So I just wanted to go to bed, and I'm thinking somebody is sending me a message to end this day. And, you know, so you start to think, well, why all of a sudden, everything all at once? Is it something that I did? Did I draw this negative stuff towards me?
No, I think it's what Tom said. Somewhere between when you left for the office and you got to the office or you were working in the office, there was something that created the tension and took away the positive energy that you started out with. And now you had this void that needed filling, and it wasn't getting filled the rest of the day at work. It didn't get filled when you had to walk on your knee, and then your knee started to hurt. And then it didn't get filled when you came across the cute little dog that decided to bite your arm off.
Well, what I didn't tell you, Melissa, then last night I had a dream visit from my grandmother, who passed 30-some-odd years ago, and I haven't had a visit from her, and she just stood there beaming and smiling at me. So I woke up this morning and figured, well, this is a topper. She's welcoming me. That's what I thought.
Well, maybe that's it. Noticed that you could use the little positive energy.
There you go.
And she came in with the smiling and the love for
maybe, because today wasn't bad.
Well, you know what?
And that's a great point that you make, that once that void happens and something bad happens to you during the day, it does compound. Because how many people have said, oh, did you ever have one of those days?
Right.
Well, there you go. One of those days that you somehow have squeezed out the positive energy, and nothing's going to make it right until you go to bed at night and reconnect with the energy flow of the universe and say, okay, come on, let's get back on balance here.
But also, I want Bob and everyone to remember that what we learned back at our conference in San Francisco in 2008 was to turn it around. The moment you realize you're having one of those days, you go, up until now, this is a really crummy day.
True, and watch for Tom's book coming out, Filling the Void.
I'm writing that down right now.
All about my back
account. Squeezing out the energy. Well, you have some closing thoughts for us, Fran?
Well, we only have a few minutes left, so I'd like to go into our healing energy prayer circle and say...
Oh, my name's on it.
Nope, not on there. Not this time. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from all participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of the recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Francis Mastracco, Tim Donahue, Deb Martin, Tina Joslin, Barbara Russell, Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Mark Farron, Eileen Lafada, Rita Springer, David Hayes, Barbara Petillo, Glenna Irwin, Julie B., Stanley Mullen, John Borland, Flora Prisco, Marianne Pierzga, Tanya Cash, Andy O'Brien, Dorothy Mello, Jeanette Devius, Janice Farelli, Joel Auerbach, Lenny Ficarelli, and Rachel S. And now, let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this. To love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And with that, I'd like everyone to say,
Our loved ones
are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.